Hello, beautiful people. I know what you're thinking. Pokey, why do you sound so sad today?
It's because a couple days ago, one of my favorite content creators was canceled. I know. So we have a lot to talk about today, okay? It's gonna be a spicy episode. I'm talking like hot tamale spicy, okay? We are just straight up talking about cancel culture. And I've been wanting to make an episode like this for a while, primarily because I feel like I have a very unique perspective, both from the perspective of a member of the audience who consumes content, who loves so many content creators, and seeing these cancellations happen, but also as someone who may or may not have gotten canceled a handful of times. So I hope that you guys might find some of the things that I have to say today interesting. We can discuss what feels fair or unfair in cancellations. What is cancel culture? Is it real? Is it bullshit? Let's get into it all, okay? First and foremost, if anyone showed up to this episode expecting me to defend someone that's been canceled or something, I'm sorry, you came to the wrong party. That's not quite my plan today. And to be honest, there are some cancellations that are really valid, some that are maybe less so valid. But who am I to be the arbiter of which cancellations are right or wrong, right? We don't really have time for that today. Dude, that would be a 7 billion hour podcast for me to go through every single cancellation. That's kind of tea too, though. Anyways, that's not what we're doing today. But if I can give some advice, don't commit any crimes. Don't assault anyone, sexually or otherwise. Hopefully don't oppress any groups of people for any particular part of their identity, whether that's race, religion, gender, or otherwise. That's not what we're here to do. This episode is more so just meant to be some sort of conversation starter, and frankly, just talking about some of the things that have been on my mind the last week or so, as someone who saw one of their favorite creators get canceled. And can I just take a moment to be a little vulnerable? Don't tell anyone, but to be honest, a lot of the times, I shouldn't say this, but I'm gonna say it. Okay, a lot of the times when I see someone get canceled, low-key, I'm like, haha, I knew it. And bitch, I can imagine some of y'all out there too, when people try to come for me, you're like, haha, I knew she was weird. Okay. But to be honest, that is not how I felt this week, because this is genuinely a creator that I love and thought that they actually were maybe one of the few people that deserved some sort of like idolization or glamorization. Like I really, really thought they were incredible, and we will get into that. But going back to my point, yeah, sometimes you're like, I fucking knew it. And to be fair, that is not a testament to me being like a really good judge of character, as much as I'd like for that to be the case. It's really just, if anyone, frankly, is of a certain stature, any one of their mistakes can just be like blown out of proportion and sensationalized and turned into a cancellation. So yeah, sometimes I'm like, hey, I knew it. But really, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has those days. Does that mean that there aren't some cancellations that are very valid? Oh, there are. 100,000%. Maybe not every single one of them. That's for you to decide and for me to have my opinion on, and we can get into that. First and foremost, let's define what in the world is cancel culture. I mean, we all kind of know, but let's still put a definition to it. When I Google it, this is kind of the definition that typically comes up. Cancel culture refers to the mass withdrawal of support from public figures or celebrities who have done things that aren't socially accepted today. This practice of canceling or mass shaming often occurs primarily on social media platforms. But to BFFR, I kind of disagree with that definition. How I would define cancel culture nowadays is, frankly, the tendency to sensationalize people's mistakes in order to publicly shame them, tear them down, with, frankly, low-key, the ultimate goal of feeling better about oneself under the guise of doing the right thing, quote-unquote, doing the right thing. And I know this might sound like a bit of a definition that kind of minimizes some of the good intentions behind canceling people or the sometimes very, very important topics that we need to discuss when it comes to cancellations. But I am only defining this, frankly, from the perspective of almost like statistics. And what I mean by that is about, in my opinion, like 10 to 20% of what most people consider cancellations are actually like worthy cancellations. Like someone committed a crime, someone is actually a terrible person that hurts others consistently or is a bigot of some sort. Even being misogynistic, yeah, I fucking hate that shit, but there's lots of y'all and y'all are not fucking canceled. And I don't even know if you should be because frankly, if I come across someone who's misogynistic, it's not always that I want them to be canceled unless they're like actively going against women, then maybe do that. But I do think there are a lot of people who maybe just deal with inner or outer misogyny that it's almost like I want them to heal. I want you to move past your bigotry. I don't want you to cease to exist as a human being, but I also don't want you to be perpetuating that kind of sexist or mean or bad rhetoric to others. All in all, cancel culture requires a lot of nuance. So, I want to get into that nuance. But my point with sharing my personal definition or perspective on cancel culture is just to say that I think it's become mainly kind of an ego play. We love publicly to bring people up and just say, wow, they're so amazing. Look at what they're doing. Have you seen this person? Wow, wow, wow. Bring them up until we think they're like a god or something. And then we want to tear them all the way down. And why? Because it makes us feel better about ourselves and maybe our lack of accomplishment or maybe not being able to do what they did or what they do or the persona that they have or that they showcase. Or maybe you want to bring them down a peg and be like, hey, remember, you're human too. You make mistakes too. Maybe the mistake isn't a huge deal, but we're going to fucking act like it. Yeah, we are. Because it feels good to bring someone else down. Isn't that almost like sadistic in a way? Sometimes I even have to catch myself when I get enthralled in these ideas and all these like rumors and scandalous clickbait articles and I start reading and watching videos and going down this rabbit hole of figuring out, oh, why is this person such a shitty person? Tell me. Sometimes I have to stop myself and think, whoa. Is this in a way like the true definition of a guilty pleasure? Like, sure, sometimes I like to say chocolate. Reality TV. Those are my guilty pleasures. But I don't really feel that guilty about them. When I go down these rabbit holes of seeing people tear others down, it actually makes me feel like I'm becoming a worse person. It's like people are getting off on it. Like you're getting off on seeing someone be shat on. Are you really going to delude yourself to think like, oh no, I'm actually educating myself on what someone else did wrong? A majority of the stuff that you see people get mad about, I don't think are worthy of ruining someone's life. I'm not going to decide if someone's life should be ruined, but I do think there are certain instances, certain cancellations, things that I see publicly where I'm like, I can't decide what the future of your life holds or whether you can be redeemed in some way, but I don't think you are someone who should have a public platform because of the power associated with that platform and because perhaps you have a history of abusing said power. Those, for me, are the kinds of things that are concerning or potentially worthy of withdrawing support from someone. That's how I view it. That's where I draw the line and kind of what I would view as canceling someone. Because to be honest, aside from, you know, not engaging with someone's content and canceling them in that way, sometimes it feels like the only way that someone can really be canceled is if they cancel themselves, if they stop making content. Because we've seen so many people come back from quote-unquote cancellations and still have thriving careers. And we'll talk about why later or how later. But also, too, it's like either you cancel yourself by disappearing when people get mad at you, or two, you go to jail. That is one surefire way of getting canceled. And I think that's a good one. You know, I think we should cancel people that go to jail. But isn't it also interesting? Have you guys seen that one lady? I can't remember her name. Maybe I'll insert it here. But there was a lady who plotted with her boyfriend for her boyfriend to kill her mom because her mom was abusing her. She went to jail. And then she came out of jail and she got millions of followers. Isn't that fascinating? Sometimes I feel like the internet and media, it's really not about what's wrong or right. It's about what's entertaining. Is it entertaining right now to bring up the underdog? Or have they been brought up so much that at this point in the story, it's entertaining to tear them down? That's what drives clicks, to be honest. So let's follow them and let's see what they say. And there really is no right or wrong whatsoever sometimes. Except what you deem to be right or wrong, you know? And in that same vein, sometimes it feels like, yeah, people get canceled, quote unquote, or like you think they're getting canceled, but really they are just finding more audience that agrees with them. And we've seen this with certain people that I will not name, but we've seen people who maybe say really, really sexist things. And people will think that, oh, they're canceled. They're going to get canceled. No, they just grow a larger community of sexist people. Maybe the same goes with being bigoted in any other kind of way, or being really right-wing, or being really left-wing. Like, you can get canceled in another community. That's just not your audience. And that's how, frankly, in my opinion, I feel like cancel culture is really ineffective. It doesn't, quote-unquote, work like 90% of the time. If anything, sometimes people grow like a stronger audience and brand after being canceled. So what really is cancel culture then? That's why I feel like the definition that you Google is so inaccurate. It's not about withdrawing support. It's about this phenomenon that we see occurring on Twitter, on TikTok, on whatever platform and in whatever community. And sometimes it's been kind of scary to see this happen and see people garner more of an audience that is maybe more hateful. But I feel like that's just the state of the internet nowadays. Like, the internet is so large that you can get completely canceled in one way and then just garner millions of followers who just have no idea who you are, who have no idea what happened, who have no idea that you got canceled. It's more so now a phenomenon of public outrage. It has less to do with the actual outcome of whether someone no longer has a job or no longer has a platform or no longer has anything. Like, I can't name one or two people who have had their platforms actually taken from them. To me, that's a cancellation. And it's fascinating because although cancel culture revolves around social media, I actually find that the people who are most at risk of being quote-unquote victim to cancel culture, not to say that everybody who's canceled is a victim, but I'm saying like the people who are most likely to have their lives ruined and their livelihoods taken away from them by being canceled online, take a shot every time I say cancel. Whoa, y'all about to be fucked up. Anyways, the people who are most likely to have their lives kind of ruined by this are people who aren't content creators, are people who either have like a quote-unquote regular job. I just say regular in the sense that it's not social media or public-facing, or people who are in more traditional roles or who don't have huge platforms, who don't have, frankly, like the capabilities of just moving past it and continuing to make content or continuing to do their thing. Those are the people who end up actually losing their job or feeling tainted for life. Let's dive into what triggered this topic for me and wanting to discuss it. So, as I mentioned, one of my all-time favorite content creators, maybe not anymore, we'll get into that. His name is Andrew Huberman. If you don't know who he is a neuroscientist who works at Stanford University, and he has a massively popular and frankly really well-made podcast where he shares for free science and neuroscience related information, and he turns this information and these really interesting conversations that he has with reputable guests into practical advice for everyday people to follow in order to live our best and healthiest lives. I mentioned him in last week's episode for Glowing Up because there is so much important and impactful information and advice that I learned from being an avid watcher and consumer of his podcast, I can say without a shadow of a doubt that that podcast has had a huge positive impact on my life. 100%. I hate to say it because, you know, it feels a little parasocial to be like, wow, something that I learned about someone who has no idea who I am impacted me greatly. But that's just the reality of our lives nowadays. How can you consume dozens and dozens and dozens of hours of someone else talking and then learn something that changes your perception about them entirely and not be impacted? I think we would have to be a little bit psychotic, actually. Is it parasocial in some way? Sure, it is, but not necessarily in like a super negative way. I think we have to accept that there's a level of being parasocial that is just common and almost normal in our day-to-day lives. And the most important thing is to be aware of it. Like, am I going to sit here and cry because I found out some weird shit about him? No. But is it okay for me to be a little bit shocked or disappointed in some ways? Not disappointed like you're my son, but disappointed nonetheless? Sure, I don't think that's that crazy. Mind you, today's episode is so much more just like off the cuff, riffing off of whatever thought I have in my mind than past episodes. Like I try to be more structured. So forgive me for my lack of structure and just going off of my emotions. But I am going to later ask you guys if you guys prefer a more structured episode or a more just tell us what you really think episode. So we'll see how you feel. Before I tell you guys what he was canceled for, I want to paint a bit of a better picture of who he is or who he portrays himself to be and the content that he makes. So as I said, he makes podcast episodes about bettering yourself, about health. Frankly, his content really, really revolves around discipline, about bettering oneself, about him living like a very healthy, strict, disciplined life that is very easy to look up to and seems very ambitious, frankly. And I think some of the best ways that I can describe him, he's 48, so he gives almost like a fatherly vibe. And everything he says is really wholesome. He prefaces things really considerably. Like, he's very considerate of different lifestyles. He isn't someone who like speaks down on people. It seems that his goal is really just to share information that can help empower and better other people's lives, which is just like such a beautiful goal to have in this world of so much random ass content, to be honest. So I think that's one of the reasons why his podcast performs so well. Like, people really resonate with this character that he portrays, right? And sorry, I don't mean to say character and portrays as if he's acting, but we'll get into that. But more so, you know, like the character that someone has, someone's character, their morals, their ethics, their beliefs, how they conduct themselves. That's kind of what I mean by character. So yeah, his persona is really like impressive and it's easy to be attracted to it or to idolize it. He's really someone that is easy to look up to. That's the best way that I can put it. I kid you not, right after I filmed the Glow Up episode and I included him in the bio and everything, like, it was basically that same day that I saw Carrie Howley's incredibly well-written and researched article on Andrew Huberman, and it was published in the New York Mag. To summarize, it goes over how allegedly, and I'm not saying allegedly because people are unsure whether or not this is true. I mean, frankly, if something is published in a reputable magazine, I promise you it is very likely vetted, thoroughly researched. It's just very likely to be true. I'm saying allegedly because even in the article, they mention Huberman's tendency to potentially threaten to sue people, including his friends. So I'm just saying allegedly to watch my own back. Anyways, allegedly, it goes into how he was dating and cheating on and playing like 5 women at once. 5. Frankly, on top of being potentially a professor at Stanford and having a really successful podcast, that's some crazy time management. But Girl, it gets really, really crazy. Let me just give you the tea quickly. So not only does it go into how he was cheating on 5 people at once, but this was while he was trying to impregnate one of them. And not just impregnate, they were doing IVF. If you don't know what IVF is, it's typically people who have who struggle to get pregnant. They go through these rounds of hormones where you have to inject yourself with syringes of hormones for certain days in order to have better chances of getting pregnant. And in one part of the article, oh my God, it literally describes how he went on a camping trip with one of his girlfriends. That's crazy to say one of his girlfriends. But yeah, one of his girlfriends. And he was injecting her with this hormone in order to hopefully conceive and get pregnant with her. And that same night, he was texting another girl who thought that he was in an exclusive relationship with him, saying, you know, it was really nice seeing you last time. I'd love to see you this weekend. I'm off the grid right now. Yeah, bitch, because you're camping with another girl that you're playing. But can I see you this weekend? And there are a lot. It is a long article. There are a lot of details. Like, I couldn't summarize it all if I wanted to. But just to kind of clear up any doubts, you know, like, these were not a bunch of women who were in, like, a polyamorous relationship. They all very clearly thought and knew that they were in an exclusive relationship with this man. And one of them actually caught him cheating once. And he apologized in, like, extensively. And they tried to, like, move past it. But she didn't know that there was more than one woman. There were multiple. And, you know, it all came down to slowly them finding out about each other and making a group chat and sharing all of this information. And then, boom. Now a journalist has it. Now me and you know. I'm not going to lie. There were certain details in the article that I don't know if they needed to be there, and I wish I never knew. It's never not going to be cringe to see someone's, like, sexts or, like, borderline sexts, you know? Just him going like, hi there. And it's tough because, bro, he's 48. And should he have a sex life? Of course. Do I want to know about it when I view him as, like, this fatherly figure, scientist, healthcare advocate? No. And so there was a small part of me that felt bad because some of the details shouldn't be there. But I was shocked that so many people were defending this behavior by saying, like, you know, this doesn't make his podcast any less good or important, or, like, who cares about this stuff? And hey, I agree. It technically doesn't make his content less educational or helpful per se. But in my opinion, it does kind of speak to his character, and his character plays a massive part in his brand and why his podcast is so successful. It's about, like, this idea and this image that he sells on, and frankly, him kind of being a result of the advice that he gives. But then if this behavior is also a result of this lifestyle that you're trying to promote, like, to me, it does wind up feeling misleading. And this is not to say that if someone cheats, like, that's the end all be all. Cheaters should be canceled forever and, like, there's no redemption. But that's not what I'm saying at all. And people can and do make mistakes. But this is an instance where he didn't just, like, make one mistake and cheat on someone once. He was actively playing multiple women. He was actively lying to and in a way manipulating multiple women. I forgot to mention something. While trying to impregnate one of them, he also gave her an STD. Allegedly, according to her. Yeah. Yeah. So it's really messy. Like, you cannot whoopsie-daisy accidentally cheated on 5 people at once. Like, that takes some level of intention and planning and disconnecting from the amount of hurt that you can cause from others that, to me, is really incongruent with the personality and person that he portrays himself to be. I'm not saying we need to cancel him, we need to take away his platform. I don't know. Would I worry about The amount of women in his DMs that he can do this to in the future, sure, if this is all true, you know what I mean? There were a bunch of other details in the article that were also concerning, like the fact that he lives like 6 hours from Stanford University. I thought he was there every day. Then again, maybe I just don't understand how being a professor or teaching there works really well, or maybe he kind of overplays his role, and, you know, some weird details about the Huberman lab that he promotes, or there were some stories about ways in which he's essentially like mistreated his friends in the past. Do those things need to be public? Do we need to cancel him for those? Not necessarily. I think they were more so used to showcase the differences in maybe his actual character versus, I guess, what we see. I also want to make it very clear that this is not like a surprise expose or article. He knows that all of this information is out there. He was given an opportunity to give his own interview or side of the story. He decided not to. And instead, it was just his publicist who responded to certain parts of the story. And to be honest, they responded in a really, 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 really weird way. Like, they would correct some of the oddest, irrelevant details. And then aside from that, they would just sometimes kind of deny stuff with no evidence, no proof, no nothing. They would just say, oh, Huberman denies that this was the case, or Huberman says that this was interpreted incorrectly. Like, I don't know. I feel like if the things that were said were really that wrong, he would come out and at least say that. But I think there's just too much evidence against him. And I'm not gonna lie, some of the stories and things I'm like, oh, this doesn't really need to be out there. But I also think I'm viewing that from the perspective of someone who also feels like there have been some things brought to the public about me that were just not necessary. So I think I feel that more so, where I'm like, ooh, I understand how harmful it can be to have someone's private life put out there unnecessarily. But on the other hand, I do think that cheating on 5 people at once, spreading STDs, lying to them, manipulating while trying to get one of them pregnant, like that part of it to me is a lot. I have seen people, primarily guys, see that and be like, oh, whatever, like it doesn't matter. And you know what? That's their opinion, right? As I said earlier in the episode, sometimes getting canceled, it doesn't actually cancel you. It maybe just changes the audience and demographic that you're appealing to. For me, it bothers me when there's a massive elephant in the room and a creator whose content I consume just ignores it completely and tries to act like nothing's going on. I don't need to answer to anything. None of this matters. Whatever, whatever. That actually really, really irks me. I don't think you owe the world an answer to everything. But I think even coming out and saying like, hey, I see what's going on, whatever, whatever, I can't speak on it right now, but maybe I will. Even that to me is like the least you can do. Maybe it just gives me an impression of like having too much of an ego when you refuse to address shit this huge. But again, that's just me. It reminds me of, there was this huge drama on TikTok like a year or two ago about a girl lying in a sponsored post that she made where she was reviewing a mascara and she put like false eyelashes on. And I know this probably sounds so silly, but yeah, she was doing a sponsored post where she was supposed to show how good the mascara is on her eyelashes, but people could tell that she added fake eyelashes to make it look more impressive or bigger or whatever. And when I tell you this went omega super duper viral, like insanely, insanely. And you know what she did? She never addressed it. And like a week or two later, she just went back to regularly scheduled programming, her usual content. And to this day, she has never addressed it, even though it was massive news. And a lot of people were like, wow, slay, like you go queen. Like that's just iconic behavior. And in a way, I do think it's very cool to just be like, I don't give a fuck about the right thing though. To me, I used to like her content. Now I can't watch it the same. Because to me, it's like you didn't even care enough about your audience to tell them why you lied to them in a sponsored post. Like, there are some things like, oh, people got mad about something trivial, or you said a joke and a few people got mad. Maybe some things that people don't care about enough and that you don't need to address. But when things are massive, or when it's about like your reputation or your character or whether you're like lying to people or not, and you just choose not to address that, that gives me a bad vibe, and it makes it really hard for me to view a creator in the same way afterwards, even if they're making the same content. I don't think I will keep watching his podcast unless he comes out and addresses it in a way, frankly, that just makes me more comfortable, probably because I've seen the other side of it. Like, I've been manipulated, I've been lied to in the past, and so, you know, my perspective is probably biased in some way, but just in general, I think when something this huge happens, I would at least like to see someone address it or apologize to the people that they've hurt now that it is really public. And if someone refuses to even do just that, to me, it just gives me the vibe that they don't care, but in a bad way. There's a cool, confident way to not care, but you gotta still care about the right things. And if what I care about and what a creator cares about, I feel is completely different, and so meaning our ethics and morals are completely different, that's okay, but then I probably won't like consume your content the same. And that's totally fine for me, and it's totally fine for someone else to keep watching them and maybe not give a fuck, right? That's kind of how I view cancellations nowadays. It's just filtering, a filtering of who will or won't consume your content. Can I say something else that is, maybe I shouldn't say, that's what the point of the podcast is. Don't tell anyone. Don't judge me. But after I saw this huge article, low-key, it made me feel better about some of my past cancellations. Because I'm like, well, hey, at least I've never cheated on 5 people at once while trying to get one of them pregnant and spread STDs amongst them. Right? I mean, you know, that is very much like a stroking one's ego kind of thing. And it is a perfect example of why this kind of content goes so viral. Because it makes us feel better about our own lives and our own problems and our own mistakes. Well, at least I'm not getting dragged publicly like them. Until you are. Probably not you, but me. But hey, this is human nature. We want to feel better, and we just have to be aware of it and be aware of how much it is driving our actions and our reactions, right? Our reactions. Twitter has been so fascinating nowadays because it's getting to the point where I see almost like an equal amount of people trying to cancel someone and then people defending that person. And to be honest, I think because of past instances where people have tried to cancel me for things that, like, and okay, let me preface this by saying there have been some fair criticisms levied against me. I have made mistakes in the past, but I have always really, really done my best to apologize when I feel like I've made a mistake, to own up to it, and to never make that mistake again. And I do think that's been the case for the most part. And there are criticisms you can have of me, some that I disagree with, some that I might agree with. But there have been instances where things have almost turned into a cancellation or like a controversy that really weren't that important at all. A good example is like years ago, I did a Get Ready With Me stream and people got a screenshot of me that without makeup that to some people looked unattractive, and that turned into a huge thing. But is that a cancellation? Is that a controversy? Some people would say yes. But what was fascinating about it is that what ended up happening was I was able to just say like, hey, the whole point of me doing that Get Ready With Me, and when I spoke about it, I even said like, I'm doing this because you guys only see like the glamorized version of everybody on social media. But the reality is like, we all look like shit sometimes. We don't look like this without makeup. Like the whole point of that stream was, if anything, to empower people and to kind of break down this idea of what we see online versus the reality of things. So for people to then start yapping about how I look without makeup, oh, You kind of proven my point. Anyways, the point of this spiel is me saying that it actually almost worked in my favor because I was able to then even further drill in what I stand for, what is meaningful to me, and attract like-minded people. Because then, you know, people getting mad about one screenshot where I don't look flattering causes others to, thank you, defend me and say, it's so stupid for you to even care. Like, have you never seen a woman before? Have you never seen a woman who, you know, from like an unflattering angle or bad lighting or bad whatever? Like, it's just not that big of a deal. So then my audience became more so people who agree with me or who are on my side. And honestly, this has happened to me so many times throughout my career where I feel like I've garnered a larger community because people tried to come at me for reasons that I deem unimportant or that I disagree with. And then I publicly disagree with them. And then I attract those who agree and feel similarly. But it kind of scares me because then I think like, okay, what if it's the same thing with like actually bigoted people or bad people? Then bad people just start making communities with other bad people. And then they have a bunch of power because they still have these huge platforms filled with bad, bigoted people. I don't know. I don't want to go down that road. Ultimately, this is all to say, canceled or not, consume the content of who you want. And when you see these insane clickbait articles and headlines and titles and this person is terrible and that person, read them for yourself. Make up your mind on your own. Listen maybe to what other people have to say. But this mob mentality that we see online, it's really scary and it can be really dangerous. And we have seen time and time again instances where we might have put someone down and then really, really long term, we get the full story or we learn how they really are. It's like, we don't really know that much at the end of the day. So go off the information that you have and the decision that you make for yourself. Like, make up your own mind instead of just listening to what some angry people are saying under one video or whoever is saying under whatever article. Choose for yourself. And I've really come to peace with just thinking, hey, this is where I would draw the line at a mistake that is forgivable or not. But also, I think I would forgive most creators or celebrities or people for making a mistake. Again, not like a crime, a mistake, as long as they own up to it. For me, I just don't like when people don't own up to it. I think that's just weird. So yeah, but I'm sure that's different for everyone and that's totally okay. Also real quick, I wanted to say, it's interesting how we really shouldn't underestimate the idea of like silent viewers. There's always a vocal minority, like when something like this happens, there's so many people who are really angry and some people who are really defending and like you see the loud stuff. But what you don't see is like the everyday viewer who maybe doesn't say anything, who just makes up their mind on their own. And there have been instances where I've had like hate or drama videos made about me with like millions of views. And I think in the past, like that used to be so scary to me. But now I realize like, even if there are millions of views and thousands of comments, and even if these thousands of comments, a lot of people are shitting on me, the reality is in these millions of views, and I've learned this by talking to people and friends and people in my audience who tell me this stuff and see this stuff, they're like, yeah, I watched it. I thought it was stupid, so I just clicked off. I watched it. I thought it wasn't that important, so I just moved on with my day. I kid you not, that is the real majority of people. To the majority of people, this kind of cancellation stuff, a lot of it is whatever. Again, except for those edge cases where it's really extreme or a crime. And I quickly actually want to mention kind of an example of this. Kanye West. We all know the kind of comments that he was making like a year or two ago, how terrible they were, the anti-Semitism. And you saw how even though, frankly, there have been a lot of kind of weird and not okay things that he's done in the past. I'm not going to get into it exactly, but there have been things he's done in the past that were already to some people, worthy of cancellation. But it wasn't until he made these comments that ostracized a group of people for their identity that really caused entire companies and lots and lots of people to completely write him off, like refuse to even be affiliated with him whatsoever. There's a lot of things that people can get canceled for that just rolls off their backs. But when you cross that line, oh, it becomes a problem, and frankly, kind of rightfully so. If you're bigoted in some way, why would people want to affiliate with you or uplift that kind of thing or enable that kind of behavior? You either kind of get canceled by crossing that line too far to the point that other people don't even want to affiliate with you. That's one. Or two, committing a crime and going to jail. Please don't do either of these things. Or three, canceling yourself by never making content again or by whatever. And a good example of that is Jenna Marbles. I miss Jenna Marbles. But do you guys remember how people tried to cancel her? And she basically said, like, I'm sorry, I never mean to hurt anyone, but I don't want to go through this cyclically. Like, every few months, people get mad about something. So I'm just going to step away from the internet. And she never came back. That was really an internet L on our end. But it's also kind of a reminder that being in the position that you're in, like, the higher you go, the more there is to tear down. And so I think it's sometimes almost inevitable. Of course, you should watch what you say and do, and that will avoid causing a lot of issues for you. But I also think when you're really well known or popular, people are going to come for you kind of no matter what. If I can interject some level of personal experience, I think I got a little bit fed up with that, and that was also one of the reasons that I stepped away from streaming. I just felt like every 6 to 10 months, people would try to make like a really huge deal out of anything that they could. And this isn't to say that sometimes what they said wasn't valid. Sure it is. I make mistakes, for sure. It's just that sometimes the punishment doesn't really fit the crime. Or like the level of harassment and outrage doesn't really fit the action. It didn't just bother me that people were coming for me. It bothered me that other creators were coming for me and were supported in doing so. And to me, that was a reflection of the industry that I'm in and a reflection of the fact that there will always be guys who want to see a woman be torn down. And it's almost like it gets refreshed. Literally every 6 months to a year, people will want to tear me down. And then I'll rebuild. And they'll be like, oh, exciting. And then once maybe they get annoyed with it or it becomes too much or they start getting fed up with me more, then they'll be like, oh, let's find something she did wrong and make a huge deal out of it. Or let's have someone attack her. Literally, some of my controversies are just other creators attacking me for no reason. And even by doing that, they can still get a ton of support. So yes, all in all, cancel culture is important, helpful, inefficient, sensationalized, damaging. It's a lot of good things and it's a lot of bad things. And to some extent, I think some of the things that people get upset about are good in the sense that it's a reflection of our society and culture changing and people trying to be like, hey, this is not okay anymore. And sometimes because of our history, people are more outraged than is necessary over a mistake. But that's just kind of how things evolve with time. It's almost like it evolves because people make a huge deal out of things and they're like, we're fed up with this, no more. A good example, I think, is things like Me Too. Very important things. And sometimes there are instances that are just kind of damaging or maybe not as necessary where, yeah, people do make mistakes. And if they own up to it and they don't repeat those mistakes, I think that's a really good thing, especially if those mistakes, to me, the nuance there is whether or not these mistakes are in relation to the power that they hold and the platform that they have. Like, could they potentially be abusing people or be doing really damaging things, or did they mess up in the way that they said or expressed something? You know, is there something that they need to learn, or should they be more careful about the things that they say? I feel like there's a bit of a difference in severity there that is really important to consider. And yeah, it's like, do we judge people too quickly? But I think most people, one, don't care that much about a lot of these things. Like, they'll probably care very selectively. And two, I think most people will judge someone likely based off of the most recent thing that they've seen about them. And that's just recency bias for you. Give the people something to be happy about, they'll be happy. Give the people something to be mad about, they'll be mad. So frankly, I'm very interested and curious to see, because this is actually my first time really, really, like, really loving a content creator and enjoying their content so much and seeing them be canceled to this degree. So I told you guys kind of how I feel, what I anticipate will happen, but I'm curious if in 6 months I won't really care as much and I'll go back to watching his content, or if he will apologize and I'll feel differently about it. I'm really not sure. If I have any updates for you guys, I'll let you know in the next episodes. And yeah, that's all for me today. Thank you so much for listening. All in all, I hope you guys always educate yourselves, make your own decisions about what you deem is worth the singular shit that you shit every single day. What is worth giving a shit about? I hope that we can all just try to be our best selves and minimize the amount of hurt that we cause each other. That's at least the way that I view things and the way that I try to go about any mistake that I might make. Wait, side note, you know what's crazy? I was actually thinking of doing a whole episode on all my past controversies. I know, if my publicist is listening to this, she's like, don't fucking do that. That sounds like a terrible idea. But sometimes terrible ideas make for the best ideas in a weird way. Like, the craziest ideas end up being the best ideas. I don't know. I was thinking about doing that, but we'll see. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed, it would mean the world to me if you rated the podcast 5 stars on Spotify. I didn't know, but you can only rate the podcast if you're on a mobile device. I really had no idea before. So you have to go on your phone, go to the podcast page, and then in the top right corner, there are 3 dots. And if you click those, you are able to rate it. That would really mean a lot. I appreciate it so much. I also usually leave some sort of a question or a comment section below on each podcast episode if you want to let me know what you think and chime in. Those comments, like, I'm so used to streaming and seeing, like, comments every second, right? And sometimes when I'm just podcasting to myself, I'm like, this is weird. What do you guys think? Did I say a good or bad thing? So the comments are really helpful in me just kind of gauging perceptions and understanding what you guys want to hear more of, what resonated with you all. Yeah. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.